Doctor's Kitchen. Recipes, health, lifestyle.
When I talk to my students, I find out, what do you do? And, you know, look, it's lovely roasting and grinding and, yeah, pestle and mortar. But you shouldn't be doing it because you're killing the spice.
Okay.
Sorry for being like a killjoy
in
the kitchen. But actually, you're cooking the spice to death.
Welcome to the Doctor's Kitchen podcast. Show about food, lifestyle, medicine, and how to improve your health today. I'm Dr. Rupi, your host. I'm a medical doctor, I study nutrition, and I'm a firm believer in the power of food and lifestyle as medicine. Join me and my expert guests where we discuss the multiple determinants of what allows you to lead your best life. I have the Queen of Spice from Wren's Kitchen on the show, talking about everything to do with sourcing and investing in the best spices for your food, not just from a nutritional standpoint, but from a flavor perspective as well. I think that's super, super important. I've always been a fan of spices for their medicinal properties, but today I was honestly blown away by how much Wren taught me about spices, and I was shocked at how different spices can taste in their raw whole form. Wren has been in the spice business for years. She has some of the best chefs and restaurants using her spices. Tom Kerridge, Bubbler, Paloma, Raffles Hotel, Ottolenghi, just to name a few. Those are her clients. So if you want the best spices, I can highly recommend Wren. I have no financial ties to Wren whatsoever. This is not a sponsored podcast at all. We just went out and found the best spice producers, purveyors of spices, and those who could talk to the flavor of spices. And Wren came up multiple times. Remember, spices add diversity to your plate. They count as a quarter plant point each, and we're aiming for 30 different plant points every week. So even in used in small amounts, the addition of spices is suggested to improve the gut microbiome composition and reduce markers of inflammation, which is why I'm such a big fan of spices in general. Plus, they've been part of the human diet for thousands of years. They add a ton of flavor. They make healthy food palatable and enjoyable. So today, we're going to be talking about what we're doing wrong when using spices, myself included, and what Wren has taught people in her cooking classes, how to source correctly, how to spot the best spices in the market. And you can find out a lot more about Wren and Wren's Pantry on her website, wrenspantry.com. Onto the podcast, where you can also watch this podcast on YouTube and subscribe whilst you're there. I think you're going to want to watch this on YouTube, not because there's any specific graphics or anything, but you can see the color differential between the spices that we're using. They are remarkably different. And I was quite skeptical, I'll be honest, at the start. I was like, well, you know, as long as I'm getting a good brand from a decent supermarket, it's going to be fine. No, I was wrong. And I think this is going to change how we use spices, both internally in the kitchen, but also at home for sure. I'm completely restocking all my spices because I value them so much as it pertains to not just the flavor, but the nutritional properties of getting some decent spices. So there are some practical tips in today's show. You can definitely see them on YouTube. And we also did a video, a recipe using her spices that you can check out on YouTube soon as well. So go check it out there as well as listening here. And make sure you follow and hit the notification bell on your podcast so you don't miss episodes like this, because this is a goodie. You don't want to miss this. On to the podcast. Before we get started, here is a quick word from the people who make this podcast possible.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ren, why do we all need to be educated about spices?
We're using spices wrong. Everyone is. They're overcooking them. They're burning them in the process of cooking. They're not being careful about the actual way that they should be treated in the cooking process. Mm. And nobody really teaches you about that. Yeah. They don't really, there's no education around that. Let's put it that way.
Well, we're lucky because we got taught by our family.
Yeah.
We got taught the basics.
Perhaps
we didn't get taught the explanation as to why we're just told you do it this way and that's it.
Oh, they're terrible. There was no explanation. Just watch and learn.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
For sure. That was how my mum kind of taught me. She's terrible with measurements.
Yeah.
I actually had to teach myself how to measure. Do you know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And give measurements in my recipes. But it's actually watching my mum and understanding the way that she cooked and that rhythm that we talked about earlier, that rhythm of Indian cooking is what you have to get down in order not to burn your spices and to look after them.
Let's go through some of the actual specifics of what people are doing wrong when they're using spices. So what are some of the biggest, because you've been doing your cooking class now for years, you've been in the spice game for years.
Yeah.
What are the common mistakes you see and hear about when people use spices in their daily cooking?
Right, okay. So it starts at the beginning with what you're buying, right? Uh-huh. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right, pick on my spices.
Okay, pick on your spices. These are terrible.
Mm.
But I'm not blaming you.
Okay.
You.
So you're holding some coriander just for the audio.
Coriander seeds.
Yeah, so
these
coriander
are coriander seeds.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, let's pick on these poor little coriander seeds.
Yeah.
Do you see the colour? They're brown.
Yeah, they're brown.
Right?
Yeah.
And they've been heat treated, so they've been toasted already.
Ah.
And so most people, when you get asked to buy coriander seeds or you want coriander seeds in your pantry, you will go and buy these coriander seeds
yes.
and you've got no education about them.
Yes.
And so it begins with that first and foremost, that message of knowing what to buy.
Uh-huh.
So like, you know, there's so many food messages out there at the moment, maybe, you know, adding more beans to your diet, being a flexitarian, reducing meat, making sure that if you do eat meat, get really good quality meat and don't eat it that often.
Totally.
You know, with eggs, you know, don't buy barn eggs, buy organic eggs or free range organic eggs if you can afford them.
Mm.
But stay away from barn eggs. But when it comes
or
to spices,
or,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
and or caged eggs. And nobody really talks about, oh, don't buy these.
Mm.
Right. Now, so these are heat treated. So they've already been roasted.
Okay.
So a recipe might say to you, roast your coriander seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're going to buy these and then you're going to roast them again.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you roasted them and they're roasted second time. The thing is, spices should only be cooked once. And if you cook them again, right, then they're going to be burnt.
Okay.
Burn means bin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're asked to buy a potato in a recipe, it's a raw potato that you're buying, right? And then you're cooking it in some method at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's lots of different ways of cooking a spice. So firstly, roasting spices, which people are really like comfortable doing, flat pan on a hob, put your spices onto the pan and they roast and they become hard, right?
Mm.
They release their volatile oils and they go hard, right? They go, so imagine roasting an almond,
mm-hmm.
the almond goes hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes crunchy. So that's one way of roasting a spice. Another way of roasting a spice, or cooking a spice, should I say, is by putting any sort of friction. So if you put cumin seeds on there or coriander seeds in there.
You're talking about the pestle and mortar.
On the pestle and mortar, mm-hmm. you're going like this and you're actually creating some sort of heat.
Yes.
Right? And that's also cooking the spice.
Oh, so I didn't realize that was a form of cooking, but it makes sense.
If you're heating it.
Applying that friction, you're right. Yeah, it creates warmth.
It does. Another way is say for example, you had some potatoes and you wanted to put them in the oven or air fry, whatever you were using. Yeah. You toss them in some coriander seeds, uh-huh. That application of heat, oven, air fry, whatever it is, is cooking your potatoes, but it's also cooking your coriander seeds, right?
Yeah.
So that's a way of cooking spices. And then finally, with Indian food, what we call a tempering or a tarka or a vagar is the cooking principle of putting the fat into the pan and your spices going into that fat.
Okay.
And what they're essentially doing is they're deep fat frying in that oil.
Right. Yeah.
And that's cooking them.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. So fundamentally, when I talk to my students, I find out, what do you do? And, you know, look, it's lovely roasting and grinding and, pestle and mortar and... But you shouldn't be doing it because you're killing the spice.
Okay.
Sorry for being like a killjoy.
Yeah, no, it's all
right. In the kitchen, but actually, you're cooking the spice to death.
So to summarize what you're saying, and correct me if I've got this wrong here, the spices should only be cooked once.
Correct.
And commonly, what you see is you're using heat-treated spices that have already been cooked, and so. Really, that should only be used as a garnish, not
correct.
As something...
as a finishing spice.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
And so...
All right. So you've got my brown coriander heat-treated coriander seeds there. Let's see some what it should... Oh, wow. That's very different. Okay. So for the audio, for the podcast listeners here, this almost looks like a coriander seed, which is the same color as a cardamom pod.
Yeah, they're green.
It's like a... A they're citrus, green, lemony green. Wow.
And they're raw. And
can I smell that?
No, yeah. Smell it from the
raw. Oh, and it says raw. Ah, it says
right.
Raw
so
on the
our
label.
Branding oh, actually tells you what it is. And when you're buying spices from supermarkets, let's say, it doesn't tell you what's happened to them.
Okay. What shall I try first? Should I try my brown one first or yours?
Try mine first.
Okay.
Okay. So try these. And. I'm going to go through the notes again with you. So they're complete aromatic. There's no heat, right? And as you chew them, they taste like lime and...
Yes.
And taste like a Thai green curry in your
mouth. Yes, it does.
They really do.
Oh my gosh.
Aren't they lovely?
100% Thai green curry.
Yum.
That is exactly what I'm getting.
And you know, the other thing is that people see whole spices and don't know what to do with them.
Mm.
They're a bit scary. And the natural instinct is to... roast them and grind them and add them in.
Gosh.
But actually, I would put these into a kebab, for example.
Yeah.
Pakoras.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. Yeah. So you get that lovely pop.
Mmm. That is awesome. Can I try mine now?
You can try them with gusto. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right.
And you're going to try those. And you can see, look, mine are plump. Yeah, and gorgeous. Yours are tiny and brown and
really tiny.
Nasty.
But the thing is, like, you know, considering I just buy these from the supermarket, right?
Yeah.
Or online sometimes. You know, you can get it from Jeff Bezos's shop. and when you just don't have a comparison. So when they arrive, you're like, oh yeah, coriander seeds.
Yeah, because you presume that wherever you're buying them from, they know better. And it's because we're not educated on spices, you just take it as roach, don't you?
So these still have a lot of flavor.
I'll be the judge. Let me test.
Okay, go on. You try them.
Oh my goodness.
They still have a lot of flavor, but it's bitter. It's a lot more bitter than yours. Yours tastes floral almost.
Yeah, these are bitter.
There's a sweetness to it. Those taste bitter, but there is some flavor in them. Okay, you're looking at me like like I've just insulted
they're
you.
Horrid. Yeah, so bitter at the end.
Yeah. At
oh,
the
that's
end,
really
I'm
upset
getting
me.
That.
So you imagine that.
Really upset.
I get really upset.
Yeah, go on.
I normally say to my students, lob it back in the supermarket window where they belong. Take it back. Go and get your money back. Mm. They're bitter. So imagine now, without talking to me, you would have roasted those and you would have made them even more bitter.
I would have.
And then you would have grind them all in something more sophisticated, like a spice
100%.
Grinder.
100%. Being very honest, that's exactly how I would have used them.
I like your honesty.
Yeah. No, that's right. Okay, great. Well, I mean,
so
look,
so
for context, you're
thing.
Educating Michelin star chefs on this, yeah, you know, subject matter. I think we all need an education. In the same way, like, I reckon chefs are the purveyors of what becomes commonplace within the general public and the general population. They're the first people to talk about, you know, getting local cuts of meat, for example.
Yes.
Making sure your fish has come from a sustainable source, ensuring that you're getting the best quality eggs, you know, the type of flour that you use. It all comes down from people who live and breathe food. And so if you're educating those people about spices, it's no wonder that most people, including home cooks like myself, don't know anything about it. So, okay, so you've educated me on coriander seeds for sure. I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I love those coriander seeds.
Yeah, I love them too. All right, so I'm taking that. That's going in my pantry. You're not going to leave. You're not leaving with that. I'm taking that. Thank you.
How many hours have we got?
Oh, we've got a little while. But so one of the first lessons.
So it's about checking your spices and tasting them and making, and so simplifying that ingredient list, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with an ingredients list that's half a page long. I'm okay with that, right? Yep. I don't mean simplifying as in removing things. What I mean is that you need to know what all of those ingredients do, what the job role of that ingredient is, why we're adding that into our food. Yep. And the only way you can do it is by tasting your ingredients.
Absolutely.
Tasting every single ingredient before you try it.
Yep.
Your mustards, your vinegars. I mean, you know, I'm constantly asking people, what's the difference between red and white wine vinegar? And most people say red sweeter.
Mm.
But if you do the Pepsi Cola challenge, they taste the same. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's only because it's colour. You know, they use white wine vinegar in white food and, you know, red wine vinegar in sort of red food.
Yeah.
But what's the job of vinegar is to cut through things, make things astringent.
Yes.
That's a job. Forget about the colour. Forget about what it looks like. Yeah. Forget about the name almost.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what it tastes like.
Yes.
And so the minute you start tasting your ingredients, your knowledge level just zooms up straight away.
Mm.
And also, really cleverly, you start using up your ingredients. Like, we've all got loads of things in our pantry in the back and we never use and whatever. Mm. And actually, what you should be doing is tasting things and then going, do you know what? I could just finish that jar off and put it in my pasta sauce or my bolognese or my curry because it kind of goes together.
Yeah, yeah.
You realize that you could use substitutes for things. Like, if you can't find Thai green basil, you could use star anise instead.
Yes.
To say, you know what I mean? So you start, to understand those flavors and tasting them. So during my classes.
Do you have a cheat sheet for that? Because I'm literally thinking, like, wouldn't it be amazing if you had a cheat sheet for, okay, if you've got a fresh herb, what is an easy spice that you keep in your store cupboard that you could replace said fresh herb if it called for it?
Are you giving me homework?
I am giving you homework, but I think that would really help. Another example that we talked about earlier when we cooked was hing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're allergic to onions and garlic or you're intolerant to them or you just don't have them, but you want that flavor, so your food is your recipe is balanced, you use a bit of hing. That was something that I learned today. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hing is such an incredible.
Yeah.
And just because it smells not very nice, it doesn't smell very nice, but it's actually a super ingredient to use.
Well, neither do onions and garlic, I guess, either.
Yeah, no.
They're very sulfurous.
And so, so the trouble with students is that they're buying spices that are already heat treated and then just misusing them. And it's just this thing of, you know, chefs on TV that I get really annoyed with and my chefs that I get really annoyed with that we supply. And it's like, stop doing that. And they do, you know, they listen to me. Once I've done the masterclass, they listen to me and they say, all right, we never roast spices again, Ren. We just, we know.
Okay.
And I cut, you know, like I cut time out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
I reduce kitchen time.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I've got that. Heat treated, tick. All right. Making sure that I'm
good.
Not getting that.
I'm glad you've written that down.
What's the next category of things that you feel people are...
They're using the spices in the incorrect order. So there is this thing where I feel quite passionately about.
Yeah.
They'll... students will say, you know, I put my ground spices into the bottom of the pan to cook them out. And I, you know, have quite a lot of arguments with people go, what does that mean? What does cook out mean? Tell me. And nobody knows the answer to that. Still, nobody knows. And again, so it's a process. First of all, using whole spices in the oil, never putting ground spices in the bottom of the pan. We did with asafoetida tape, but it went in for seconds, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Before it got coated with the vegetables. But the thing is that you use the spices in the right order. Mm. So ground spices go into something wet or where it's got vegetables to hold it or meat to hold it.
Okay.
So they don't touch the bottom. So we're okay. Not burning.
Okay.
Again, it's all around the same principle of spices and looking after our spices and, you know, the journey that my gorgeous spice is going through.
Are there general principles of the order, like whole spices, yes. Ground spices.
So whole spices go into the oil.
Just to clarify, fat. Whole spices are the seeds or like star anise.
Star anise, yes. Or cinnamon, right?
Okay,
all of those, black mm-hmm. pepper, mm-hmm. whole spices.
Yep.
And then your powder would go into something later on in the cooking.
Okay.
And even if you're making a chili con carne, I would never put in my chili con carne mix or anything in with those onions.
Yeah.
And actually, just so that people remember, I always say that, you know, never have yellow onions. Why are your onions yellow? Because you've added turmeric into your onions. So no more yellow onions.
Okay.
And always add those, or always add the turmeric later.
Later on. Okay.
Into the dish. So you don't burn that turmeric.
Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah.
as you saw earlier, it's really bitter and you have to be careful with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the turmeric, the ground spices, those.
And then your heat provider. Later. And then that comes later.
And your, that's very,
your heat provider.
Okay.
And that's very personalized. Like, you know, you might like your food really, really spicy and I might not.
Mm.
But we're trying to make the same dish at dinner, right?
Mm.
So it's about personalization and making one pot, not two pots, and making yours hot as you wish on that day and mine not so hot as I wish on that day.
Just going back to the heat treated, do you ever toast spices before like grinding them and then putting them as a topper? You never do that?
I really like the flavor of our spices. So we would use them as a finishing spice raw.
Okay.
Imagine those coriander seeds in a salad.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense.
But there is one thing I do roast, and that would be something like a sesame seed.
Oh, okay.
Whereas that's almost like a nut. When you roast a sesame seed and then add it onto the top where it goes in our za'atar, we roast our sesame seed then. But that's literally the only thing that we roast.
I'll give you an example of another way in which I've used spices, and feel free to say that's wrong.
I will. Have you met me yet?
When we were in Malaysia, we made a dish that was loosely based on popia. Popia is a street food where they wrap it like crab meat and a few other ingredients like bean curd and stuff in like a wheat gluten crepe almost. Like it's a very, very thin galette almost.
Yeah.
So we made a version where I wrapped some stewed down sweet potato, beetroot and jicama, which is like Mexican turnip, in a few spices. And then we wrapped it in a rice paper roll. And then I fried that rice paper roll in a little bit of oil to give some crispiness to it. So it was like a big fat cigar. And then we chopped it up and then we served it with some sambal. But to the oil, I added clove and cinnamon to flavor the oil. So the outside of that rice paper roll had that flavor.
Whole spice.
Whole spice.
Yeah, that's allowed. Spice.
That's allowed, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so hold on a second. So let me just show you something. Mm. Where are we? This is our garam masala, mild curry powder.
What are you looking for?
Right, Cajun, right?
Cajun, all right, yeah.
Okay, so where you would be really excited to make your own Cajun rub at home, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not trying to take people's joy out of this, by the way.
That's all right.
So the recipe for this would say, roast your whole spices and then grind them.
Yes.
And then mix them with your, say, chili powder and cayenne and sweet paprika, for example.
Yeah.
So we don't roast. We go straight to grind. And we very sophisticatedly grind our spices so there's no heat there. We don't let the machines get hot.
So it's almost like cold pressing.
Kind of.
Right. Okay.
So we don't let our machines get cold, get hot, and they stay cool all the time.
Uh-huh.
So you end up with a product that's raw.
Okay.
Now then this Cajun, if you put this into something, are you cooking it once? If you put this on potatoes, put it in the oven, you're cooking it once. It's not really cooked.
Okay.
So all our blends, everything that we have is raw.
Is raw. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sold. I'm sold on this now because I understand
the principle.
The principles behind it. And I reckon there's probably some extra nutritional value. I know. I don't know if you've tested your spices for antioxidant value.
No.
Given that it is raw versus heat treated. But I think that could be something you should look into with an independent lab, because if there is a difference, there's another selling point that beyond the flavor alone. So you want me to just try a little bit, do you?
I do. I want you to try that.
Okay. So I'm just for the podcast listeners, I've just got like a pinch on the end of a teaspoon.
Yeah. See, you're getting used to it now. You're getting used to trying everything. It's good, isn't it?
Wow.
Yum.
Wow. That is like chili, salty... sweet. I'm actually getting sweet. Oh, it's got espazote in, a Mexican espazote.
Yeah.
I usually don't like espazote on its own. I find it a little bit too herbaceous.
Yes.
But it is really good in this.
It works.
Wow. There was so much flavor in this. That's phenomenal. That is really phenomenal. And the color, forgive me for saying this if there's a wrong thing, but it looks almost grayish. It doesn't look like a vibrant red color, but I guess, is that because it's raw?
It's raw. But the other thing is that in there is garlic powder.
Okay, and that dumps, once you've added that
in, it kind of takes away the color
a lot. Yeah.
We found that. But it is what it is. Right, try this. This is my house rub. You can see, look, you've got whole coriander seeds and whole fennel seeds in there.
Oh, yes.
And they are raw. And that's one of the first rubs I made years and years ago. It's like one of the best rubs, and it's got sugar in it. And it's so good with chicken. And it's just good with everything. It's brilliant with tofu. Really good.
That is delicious. The brown sugar, is it brown sugar?
Yes.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, I'm not anti-sugar, don't get me wrong. I think we use sugar in excess.
Yeah, 100%, yes.
But it's required to balance flavors. And this is what I keep on drilling into people. A, it's not sugar per se, it's the excess of sugar. And B, it's a very necessary ingredient when you're messing around with spices and stuff. And that's why they use it in Asian cooking, Mexican cooking, North American cooking. So.
Especially when you've got tomatoes that you need to balance the...
Absolutely.
Acidity.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you about single origin and traceability of spices. What are your opinions on this?
Right.
Should I be looking for single origin?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like recently there's been lots of, single origin this, single origin that. I'm not sure. We as a business, we're Salsa accredited. That means that we've got an accreditation where we know exactly where our spices come from.
What does Salsa mean? Sorry?
What Salsa?
Yeah, what is that?
It's not the dance.
No.
It's not the food. Salsa accreditation means that you're certified for all good processes in your business.
Okay.
Lots of food companies that we work with, they need you to be Salsa accredited.
Okay.
So in order kind of like, to supply them.
Okay, so it's a kind of like a B Corp equivalent
almost.
Sort of thing.
Yes,
okay.
Almost. But also, you know, we have forward and backward traceability, which is really important.
Gotcha. So I should be looking for this whenever, if I'm choosing spices, I should be looking
for a Salsa accredited company. Yeah, well, it just means that they're taking care of their processes, you know, making sure that all their processes are proper and they've got proper specifications for all of their spices and proper specifications and for all their ingredients and proper processes for everything. You know, breakage process and allergy processes, we've got it all.
You know,
and as a business, we put ourselves through it. We had the most amazing consultant helping us, you know, handholding us through the process. But he knew we were so passionate about what we did.
Yeah.
He helped us immensely.
Okay. So. You got some of my favorite.
Oh, cardamom.
Yeah, that's like my favorite.
Makes you burp.
Does it?
Yeah, it's really good. Do you want it?
I'll try it, yeah.
So
you know, my dad would chew on these like all the time. It's a great breath freshener, yeah. But this is like the greenest cardamom I've seen like outside of India.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah.
So you can eat the whole
thing.
Where
are these from?
You're not going to take the seeds out. They're from India.
No, I just eat the whole thing and spit out the...
Do you?
Yeah.
Attractive.
That's how I do it. Yeah, that's how we all do it.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, no. Well, that's okay. I mean, okay, so just as a little chewing gum, you would
do it.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and okay, you spit it out afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's literally how. Is this a North Indian thing or something?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Sorry. Tell me about cardamom.
So, okay. So, you're asking about single origin. Okay. So, I know where these come from. I have a specification, I have documentation to tell me that it's pure cardamom. It's not pretending to be something else.
Yeah.
Right. I have a specification of where it comes from. My company that we buy it from, they know exactly where it comes from. And if we want farm information, we can get that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the word single origins come, and I think, you know, like people spout it around, and I'm still, as long as I know that this hasn't come from seven different countries, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hasn't come from seven different countries and just packed without care. And there's, you know, child labor involved. I know that that's not happened with those. I know that they've come from one farm or a collection of farms in India. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
They're
good quality.
Is that what SALSA accreditation confirms? The no slave trade?
All of it.
Okay, all of that. Okay.
It basically helps you run the business correctly, you know. And we decided that when we moved into a warehouse, we decided, look, you know what, we want to do own label for companies. We want to work with some really, you know, big companies out there, and they expect that then.
Yeah.
They expect that.
And so with cardamom, given that, like, I mean, I use this all the time, right? So I'd get through a jar. How long should I be keeping a spice like this, or the coriander seeds, for example, or any of my spice? How often do we need to be replacing these?
That is such a good question. You know how I've shown you how to taste things?
Yeah.
Right? That has got best before date on it.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. But what you do is you taste it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's all always going to be taste.
You taste it.
Yeah.
And you go, is there any flavor? And you say, yes, there is. And just like you do with your cheese and your cauliflower and whatever it is, the same applies.
Okay, okay. So you've got to taste your spices.
My spices will last a couple of years. Things like this, things like your coriander seeds should never have been bought in the first place. Okay. I'm sorry, darling.
That's all right. It's all right.
I love my job. But it's true. And you see why, right?
Yeah. So when you buy your spices, right, the first thing I should be doing, I go to do my shop or whatever, or I get it from online or, you know, a nice spice store, and I taste my spices. I open up the jar, taste the spices, I remember that flavor. And when it comes to like 3-4 months down the line, and I'm using it for a recipe, and I taste it again before I start using it in my curry or saute or whatever, I should be able to recognize, you know what?
Yes.
This is off. In the same way, I pull out cheese.
Exactly. It doesn't go off. None of the spices
go off.
No, it won't
go off. Yeah,
but they just taste, they don't taste so good. They don't taste so vibrant.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't mean that you wouldn't use them. It could be that you just use a bit more.
Yes.
Right? Okay. It's still, I mean, there is some spices that I could show you that don't really taste of anything. Like if you don't have coriander powder here.
I don't.
But if you had coriander powder, and for your listeners at home, they should try their coriander powder at
home.
That's
coriander powder there, the orange Schwartz behind on the just under there. Yeah, yeah. There. Oh, that's coriander powder. Yeah, okay.
So I'm
that's generally a brand I don't like to use, sorry Schwartz, because I've tried them before, and there's no flavor in them. Like they look like sawdust, they taste like sawdust, there's no flavor in it at all. Yeah. Do you want to try it?
Do you want to try? I know what it tastes like.
You know what it tastes like?
Yeah, I know.
You're looking very annoyed at me.
No, I do. I don't get annoyed at you. I'm just, you know, I just get annoyed. It's passion.
Tastes like literally nothing.
So see, now I've taught you what nothing tastes like, haven't I?
Yeah, it's literally
so that's nothing. So if you've got spices that in your
that
cupboard,
literally tastes like sawdust. It
look
is
at mine.
100. Oh wow, that's very different. This green.
And taste it.
Oh gosh. All right, okay, hold on.
Is this your dinner?
Is it? Okay, let's. I mean, just looking at it, even on like side by side, it is. So it's worlds apart. Like one looks like brown sawdust, the other one is like a yellow fine powder. instantly different. There's just so much flavor on my tongue.
So, you know, if you see when I teach, and you know, I ask my students to bring me their spices, and I feel so sorry because we get to a point in the class where we start doing comparison, and they kind of know what's coming.
Yeah, by the end.
And they
of
get
it,
really
sure.
Like they think I can start getting more hated, and you know. They think, oh God, Ren's gonna hate us. Yeah. But it's not. It's just stuff like this. Mm. This is treated as a commodity. There's no love and passion, yeah. And you know, there's no research put behind this. Mm. This is just nobody questions it, right? Nobody questions this.
Well, that's the status quo right there. But there's the same thing, like we were talking about earlier, the same thing that has happened for other commodities, meat, egg, fish, flowers, vegetables, you know,
yes.
Organic versus conventional, etc.
Yes.
Needs to happen for spices.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to educate as many people as I can. So, and it's simple things. It's just small things. It's not big things. It's just changing the order and also changing what you buy. So you have buying power. You know what you're buying.
Mm.
And you know what's sad is that for some, say, for example, you know, an Indian spice, a garam masala, for example, that Tesco make, right? Sorry, Tesco, right?
We're not going to have any sponsors for our
we're
podcast at the end
anything.
Of this.
No one's, I'm not even going to be allowed in Tesco anymore. But what happens is students bring me their... So I have a conversation with students about, so how can I help you? And they're like, Ren, my spices, my curries are just rubbish. Please help me drive in flavour. The house smells nice. Mm. You sit down and there's nothing to them. Mm. I might as well have just gone and got a takeaway or ready meal, right?
Yeah.
And when I dissect it further and I find out a little bit about them and how much they cook and with passion and they can make X, Y, and Z and they're really good at it, but then they're using garam masala from Tesco, yeah. So they might have spent their whole Saturday, bless them, finding the lovely onions and buying organic chicken and whatever they're doing, but they're bloody using awful spices,
yeah.
Which are not actually going to add any flavour to your food, imagine.
Yeah.
And then, or you can see that sort of glaze in their eyes. They're like, oh my God, it's not me. Because we're all trying to make delicious food at home, aren't we?
Yeah.
And then it's what you're buying is letting you down.
Yes, yeah.
And I figured that out a while ago because I would get my students to bring me spices. And you see how this is like grainy. Mm. Students would say to me, I've got this like sandy texture in my food and I don't know what it is. And I'd be like, I wonder if they're chopping the garlic too fine or what's going on. It's because you're putting sand in your food. It's because you're putting sand in your food.
When did you have that
realization?
Because that thought process there is probably one that I've had myself. It's like, oh, maybe it's because they're not chopping it properly, or that, you know, they're using some other shortcut that I haven't asked them about. And it's literally the quality of the spices.
It's the quality.
How long ago did you realize that?
15 years ago.
15 years ago.
And I've been going on and on and on that But everybody that comes for classes and every chef I can get a hold of, you know, like, please. And you know what? When you do use good spices, you need less of them.
Yes.
Right? So actually...
That's a very good point.
Right? Yeah, so it's like you taste my... if you taste my ground cinnamon, it's so strong.
Okay, go on.
Right? Then. Look at the colour.
Wow, that is
it's
really
so
dark.
Strong.
Do you want to rip my cinnamon apart if you can find it? Is it over there? But we got loads of our spices from Source... Bulk foods.
I don't know what that is.
They're like, they do a lot of pulses, lentils. They're really sustainable. They send everything in like brown paper bags. And so
yeah, we do
get
that
really
with
quick
our chefs.
Refills. Yeah, yeah. They're really good.
No,
I
we
really
don't.
Like
you don't have the cinnamon sticks that most people have. It's the brittle ones. No.
Those are good.
These are lovely.
Sticks. Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about those.
Let's talk about them.
Yeah, I've just given you my cinnamon sticks. Yeah,
they're
what
lovely.
Do you think?
They
look
no,
all
they're
right.
really
okay,
nice,
great.
And they're spicy.
Finally, I get
you
a green
happy?
Tick. Thank you.
Green tick.
Do you ever get that with your students?
No.
Okay, great. So we're going to keep these.
I'm only happy when I'm happy.
I'm going to...
My poor students.
Talk me through the
process of the ground...
So this is raw, is it? Raw ground cinnamon.
Correct.
Again.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. And...
It was a really dark... It was my
it's
first,
really dark.
My first thought was, wow, it's a lot darker than mine. And this is quite heat giving, so I'm going to go like quite light on.
You can do a cinnamon challenge right here. You know that.
Yeah, I remember the cinnamon challenge. I've never done that. I'm not going to do that.
No.
Oh, wow.
It's really punchy.
Gosh, there's no sugar in that, is there?
There's no sugar. So, you know, if you're going to put that in baking, I know it's yummy. It's so yummy.
I'm shocked. I'm genuinely shocked.
It's so good.
It tastes like you've cut this with brown sugar.
Cut this with brown sugar.
This is amazing. My mind is blown with that. I am a spice dealer. Wow. You are the spice dealer. I'm your spice pusher. I love it.
During COVID, phenomenal. We, you know, there were chefs that weren't.
I'm just checking the ingredients here, making sure you're not duping me. This is brilliant.
There's no sugar. I've had students or chefs say, is there sugar in there, Ren? Promise me. I'm like, no, there's no sugar in there.
That is really phenomenal. Like, yeah, I'm
there's
I'm
a whole
really
new
impressed.
World.
That is a whole new, I'm,
it's a whole
I,
new
I'm,
world.
I'm kind of worried actually, because like if I look through my previous four cookbooks and if I use your pungency of spices in there, I might have to adjust the ingredients. Like I might have to dial it down on certain amounts of ground cardamom and cinnamon and stuff, because
yeah,
like that's going to be a wealth of flavor right there. But that's
good.
It's a good thing.
Maybe what you can do is rewrite your recipe in Ren's order.
In Ren's order, yeah. No, that is
for
really
your next
good.
One.
That
your
is
next
really
cookbook.
Good.
And then obviously when I'm teaching, then it's all about the cooking and how brown you should get your onions and then how quick things can be as well. And how, you know, how, and just to see visually, you know, it's much easier, much better to have somebody cooking with you. I'm not so scary. I'm actually not.
No.
I get really passionate about the spice bit and then I calm down and become really nice.
So I'll give an example of something that I do. And I'm going to try doing with raw spices now. And now I understand the delineation between raw and heat treated or pre-cooked. I cook generally on low heat. And so I will brown onions at a very low heat, take 15 minutes, let's say, just to get that sort of caramelization. But sometimes, particularly when I'm just messing around in my kitchen, I'll just throw spices in there as well, because I know that I'm doing it at a very low heat. It's not necessarily going to burn them. It doesn't go acrid. It doesn't affect the flavor. Is that something that, again, you would be like, no, you're doing it wrong? You need to be doing it a certain way? Or am I allowed a little bit of flexibility in how I use that?
That's okay.
So
as long as where you've got your onions and you're cooking them 15 minutes, there's nothing ground in there.
No.
As long as they're whole spices
in there.
It's
whole, yeah.
That's
so
okay.
I tend to go whole anyway, like cumin, fennel seeds, whack them in with the onions.
Yeah.
Probably like not right at the start. Maybe like 5 minutes into the cooking process, add the spices.
Yeah.
And then I layer on like whatever else I'm cooking with, whether it's like greens or whether it's like, you know, kale stems, and then like add the chickpeas, and then I'll just go off piste with whatever I've found, like maybe
what
a
you
piece
fancy.
Of fish. And Yeah.
That's okay.
Okay.
But then it's just about then where you put the ground spices in.
Yes.
At what point would you put the ground spices
in? They would
in?
Always go quite low, but I do like to, and you're probably going to rinse me now for saying this, I do like to cook the spice a little bit before. I wouldn't put a spice in raw right at the end of the cooking, because I feel that would be too bitter a flavor myself anyway. That's how I...
At the end.
Yeah, I don't put it right at the end. Unless I'm doing a rub or something like that.
Yeah, there was this thing. I remember growing up and watching chefs on TV, and they'd put their garam masala in at the end.
Mm.
And I never understood that.
Mm.
I only put things in at the end where I feel like, oh, it needs a bit more.
Okay.
That's my reasoning behind it. Like I taste it and go, oh, you know what? I've put the garam masala in, but I can't taste it.
Yeah.
Let's put some more in.
Okay, yeah.
But apart from that,
you wouldn't do it.
I
right
don't
then. Yeah.
on purpose put things in at the end.
Yeah.
Everything gets cooked as they get cooked.
The only instance where I put any sort of masala in the end is if like I've made a raita, like a yogurt on the side, and I just want to put a little bit of garam masala on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. With like, nice. You know, some coriander or whatever.
Okay.
That's the only time I'd use that.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Garam masala in your raita.
Yeah.
You're proper Northern Indian.
Tiny bit.
Garam masala in everything. Do you put it in your tea as well? Bet you do. Bet you put it in your tea. Taste my mild curry powder.
Okay.
You
all
can
right.
have another spice mix in your repertoire.
Mild curry powder, right? This looks like green yellow. Mild curry powder to me, anyone that I've seen in a supermarket is brown, almost like, you know, the color of the cinnamon that you just gave me there. So this already immediately looks completely different.
You know what I want, what I want people to do is have not just one garam masala in their kitchen.
Oh wow.
I want people to have lots of different masalas.
This is delicious. Really, yeah. incredible flavor in that mild curry powder, just from the powder. That is phenomenal.
With my students, I'd get them to bring me their spices, as I said. And everybody would bring me their curry powder. I'd be like, we don't use curry powder in Indian food. How dare you? How dare you? But actually, I really like it now. Because we make our own. I love it even more, obviously. But, you know, it's that sort of what goes in katsu curry and Singapore noodles and that sort of thing. But also, look, you just swap it out. So instead of using the garam masala, use this, right? And have that, you know, have few masalas so that you can make exactly the same dish and just change the masala. That's all you have to do to get points of difference with our food, because we get bored with our own food, don't we? Like, you don't want to be known as Rupi making that same curry. You can make it, but then change the masala. So I'm going to get you to taste this, which
is
our Madras.
So what is typically curry in a Madras curry powder?
Fenugreek. Lots of fenugreek. Okay. And we're going to taste that as well.
That's all good.
So just open that up. Uh-huh. Okay. It's packed. And it's a little bit more punchy than the garam masala.
Okay.
Yes. So try that.
It looks similar to the mild curry.
Yeah. And it's got fennel in it as well.
Fennel.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Do you know, I love that on popcorn.
Oh, that would be amazing on popcorn.
Yeah, my dinner on a Friday night is popcorn because I'm done with food.
We've got to talk about your diet, Rem.
Oh, no, you're
sat over there giving me crap about my spices.
Let's look at what you eat on a Friday night.
It's time to turn the tables. This is delicious.
Popcorn's good for you.
You know what?
It is.
No, it is good. Yeah, it's a high fiber snack. black pepper really comes through in this particular brand, Madras curry powder. And then also that fenugreek for sure.
And the fennel.
That is really, really powerful. I love that. And not too hot for me. Certainly not for me. No. That is really good.
And so, you know, you could run that through mayonnaise. You can, like I said, popcorn.
Yes.
You could put it on a snack.
Would you
peanuts,
put that
nuts.
Raw through mayonnaise?
Yes, 100%. Don't do anything to it.
You don't need to do anything.
You don't need to do anything. That's a very good point. It's raw. Run it through mayonnaise or tartar sauce. Make yourself a fish burger.
It feels alive. Fish finger burger. Already that. It feels alive. That's the best way I can describe the sort of selection of spices. We've been dancing around the obvious point, which is price, right?
Right.
So we look at the cumin seeds that I want to try.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got an own label there, Waitrose, and cumin seeds.
Yeah.
There's Bart's, and then there's one that I bought from Bulk Foods over there. Those, you know, the price will probably be about, a pound.
Yeah.
Pound 50 for some of those pots, so 40 grams, I believe that is. What are we talking about in terms of the, how much should quality spices cost?
They shouldn't cost too much, okay? But these are cheap because they're rubbish.
Okay, yeah.
So there's no, like I said before, they're a commodity. They get treated as a commodity. There's no research done. They're roasted to the hilt, they're bitter. So my thinking is, you spent £1.50 on 40 grams, that's £1.50 down the toilet. You shouldn't spend that for £1.50.
So how much should I be spending? What ballpark figure should I be spending for? Let's use cumin seeds, because I think cumin seeds is one of the most popular.
I mean,
that I use
to get raw cumin seeds, like you're talking £2.25, £3 for 40 grams. I mean,
that's not a massive difference in my mind, because
often
people buy cumin seeds depends on the typical cuisine at home. But like we've just been saying, you probably need to use less.
You use less and they last forever. They don't go off. Mm. So you shouldn't be buying those in the first place, because they're bitter and they've been roasted.
Let me try it. I'm going to try one. Which one
would
I try?
So you're going to try the one that's closest to you.
How would you describe the colour of those?
Yeah, they're grey. But my main thing is, have they been roasted?
Okay.
And they have.
Okay.
So...
okay.
It's, you know, and they're quite bitter. You know, cumin is so misused.
Okay.
People think that you should roast it and then grind it for ages and, you know, get it all smoking. But they're so, can you taste? They're so bitter. Mine are bitter.
Yeah.
Right? I taste those now.
Okay.
Oh my God. Why'd you make me do that? I'm your guest. You should be nice to me.
Okay. Those, I can tell they've been roasted because they, the texture is crispy.
Right.
Those weren't as crispy, the ones that I used here. These are from bulk food, source foods.
Okay.
But these Waitrose Cook's Ingredients ones are crispy. These are like sesame seeds.
They're cooked.
Wow. This is the revelation for me?
If you put those into oil, you're now going to burn them.
So yeah, this is the biggest revelation for me is... I never taste my spices raw. I never do this raw. I always taste them afterwards, but I don't do it raw. So that's probably one of the first things, you know.
And you're just going to do it now by... You're just going to do it now. You won't use anything. You'll have my dulcet tones in your head.
You know why? Because I think most people have the impression that if you haven't cooked with them or you haven't added to your spice, your dish, of course they're going to taste terrible. But what you've... educated me on is actually the flavor of the spices when they're raw actually tastes delicious on their own.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They're lovely.
Okay, so let's try your cumin seeds here. Those. You want to try these straight away?
Yeah.
All right, okay, hold on.
Did you just say, oh God?
No, I said, hold on.
Oh, hold on.
Oh God.
Oh God. We're going to try black mustard, aren't we?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And so, they're soft.
Soft.
And they should be soft.
Yeah, these are delicious,
and
aromatic.
You see how the flavor just keeps...
It keeps on developing.
They just keep going.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're all right. Okay. I was skeptical.
Were you?
I didn't think. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't think it was going to matter that much. Actually thought that I was going to try them, but like, yeah, those are better. Those are like slightly more pungent. There was a world of difference. That, like, I've just, you know, I put that in my mouth and chewed it 15 seconds ago now, and it's still developing a different flavor. It's still sort of blossoming on my palate, and I can really tell the difference. Okay, yeah, and that speaks to me from a nutrition point of view.
Yes,
the flavors, the phytochemicals, the pungency. These are all indicative, probably. I know we haven't lab tested these, but they're probably indicative of better health benefits, more health benefits, more antioxidants, etc.
Yes.
The reason why I use so many spices in the first place. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You convinced me. So
good.
How about your chefs, right? So particularly right now, there's a lot of attention being given to restaurateurs. You know, a lot of these supply chains being hit with high prices. I'm imagining you're battling with your chefs all the time. You're trying to educate them as to why. So give us a bit of insight into that.
So look, I started Ren's Pantry 8 years ago, going into restaurants, educating chefs, and then that just turned into supplying them, right? And we supply hundreds of restaurants now up and down the country. And what I would say is those clever chefs that got it, you know, they would just do, you know, I'd go into their kitchen, I'd say, all right, well, taste my spices. And sometimes they'd be like, whoa, why is she getting me to taste spices? But then I'd say, like everybody, right? Yeah. And then I'd say, okay, get your cinnamon powder and try mine. And then they'd look at me and say, okay, got it. Mm. And all right,
yeah.
We want you in our kitchen. And you find that there's these chefs. And then I would go and I do, you know, masterclass with my students, with my chefs. And it's, you know, front of house, back of house, the accountants, everybody, the chefs, everybody joins in. And it's all about educating them again about this whole new world of spices, using less, using proper spices, don't roast and all the rest of it. The price, when we first started our business, the prices were high because I was running it from my cookery school and the, you know, I was getting really small quantities. Now we're in warehouse, like number two now we're in, you know, we were able to get lower prices. So actually in lots of instances, I'm reducing prices. Okay. It's that you can buy really cheap price spices out there. You can buy, you know, you can buy coriander powder for £4.50 a kilo. I don't know.
Mm.
But it does taste of
rubbish. Yeah, sawdust. Yeah.
So it is that battle, like you said, it's that battle of teaching them about that you need my stuff, but you just need a little bit.
Mm.
And in most instances, they're using 30 or 40% less.
Yeah.
What we're doing also is we're quite unique with our business, what we do. There's no set amount. So if a chef only wants 100 grams of clove, which quite rightly so, they only get 100 grams of clove. Okay. They don't need to be ordering 1 kilo because what you're going to do with 1 kilo of clove? Right. So, and we supply them in small amounts in plastic-free paper packaging. We begin with tubs and then we go plastic-free paper packaging, which isn't, you know, so we add value to things like that. But as we grow, we're reducing prices. Some things like cumin, my goodness, the price of cumin is just going every couple of months, 10%, 15%.
Yes, really?
Of cumin. It's
crazy. Why is that?
Just because weather, bad crops.
Ah,
yeah.
Wow. That's affecting everything, isn't it? Cacao beans, olive oil.
Everything. Yes.
Wow.
Sugar, wheat.
Climate change?
Yes.
Wow.
Places where it wasn't going to be raining, it's raining now.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So we have to check. We have to change. There are certain things that we then, you know, we just stop supplying. So we can't get some of our specialty peppers at the moment. We just don't supply them because we can't get them.
We've talked a lot about spices that we tend to use in Indian cooking, but you're not just supplying Indian specific spices.
No.
You're doing all different types, like Sichuan and
yeah, everything. We do spices from around the world, South American chilies, for example. Yeah, Sichuan peppercorns. We make a lot of blends, so bespoke blends for recipes for chefs.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll give us their recipe.
Ah.
And so, for example, Carmel, you know, he's given me his recipes and we make them. Bubbler.
Gotcha.
Have you been to Bubbler?
Yeah, Bubbler's amazing.
Yeah, so we supply Bubbler. So they've given us all their recipes and we make them for them.
That's
and
amazing.
They with our spices. So again, with Bubbler, it's quite interesting.
Is that why their falafel is so green? Because they've used your cardamom, I'm telling
you. But, you know, it's a bit of back and forth with flavors and stuff. And they have to get used to our spices as well because they're so much more vibrant.
Yeah,
they have to use less.
Yeah.
But they're willing to take that on. And it's really exciting.
That's
really
amazing.
Exciting to do that sort of... Yeah, and it's ongoing, you know, ongoing.
And so, look, we're going to start using your spices now. I've made that decision.
Decision made.
With regards to people who are listening to this and, you know, they want to experience some of the things that we just talked about here. What you just buy this online? Kitchen?
Renspantry.com.
Okay, great. Epic.
And you know, on purpose, we sell things in plastic, in these flat packs because not everyone's got... Not everyone's got jars and cupboards that are free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then everything's color-coded as well. So you've got pink that's masalas, ground spices that are yellow. We've got heat providers in the gray and the teal is whole spices.
Amazing.
So you can have a lovely drawer full of spices instead of sellotape. and you can have it all out there ready.
Amazing. I'm really excited to start getting... into all these different spices that you brought us here. And thank you so much for the whirlwind tour. I know there's so much more that we can speak about with regards to every spice. You know, you gave us the ground cardamom earlier as well. There's hibiscus you have. There's, you know, sumac, which is one of the world's highest antioxidant-rich spices up there. But you've convinced me on investing more in spices and being a lot more competent and tasting spices. So I really appreciate you coming down.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you. It's been really
my
good.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Blow my mind many a time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Doctor's Kitchen Podcast. Remember, you can support the pod by rating on Apple, follow along by hitting the subscribe button on Spotify, and you can catch all of our podcasts on YouTube if you enjoy seeing our smiley faces. Review show notes on the doctorskitchen.com website and sign up to our free weekly newsletters where we do deep dives into ingredients, the latest nutrition news, and of course, lots of recipes by subscribing to the Eat, Listen, Read newsletter by going to thedoctorskitchen.com/newsletter. And if you're looking to take your health further, why not download the Doctor's Kitchen app for free from the App Store? I will see you here next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.